1.9 broadcasting from Salisbury.
And it's Scott Simmons here with Radio Real Estate Show. And we're just getting a quick turnover of the shows, and we're back on the air here. And I've got a guest today for the Radio Real Estate Show, and it's Alex Danny. Alex, are you there?
I'm here. Is this mic on?
That mic is on. I can hear you.
Okay. Check, check. 1, 2, 3.
Yeah. So now we're going to talk about various things today about Radio Real Estate. But first off, I want to set the show. Okay, this weekend I had people here looking at houses. They were from the province of Alberta, actually not originally from Alberta, but they were they live there working in the oil business in Calgary, originally from the UK. And they were out here looking. Their budget's about $350,000 to $400,000 range. Now, the thing is, at the $350,000 to $400,000 range, we have lots of houses for sale, right?
Mm-hmm.
You would think.
Definitely.
I mean, there's a good supply of houses. The only problem is, at that range, you don't get a lot of house. And so, what we did first off was we met for coffee Saturday morning and hung out and just spent an hour and a half together talking about all the idiosyncrasies of Salt Spring Island real estate. And then, you know, it came down to their plan. Their plan is to buy something now, hang on to it, and they're not going to really move here for about 4 or 5 more years.
Right.
And so the thing is, if you buy a $350,000 house on Malleview and they don't want to rent it out and they don't really want to use it, it's like, will it appreciate fast? And my advice to them was, you know, maybe we're looking at the wrong things. We should be out looking at the raw lots because, you know, for the developers have just chopped and chopped their prices. It's absolutely a bloodbath out there for the developers selling lots. And
I mean,
there's some incredible deals. And that's where, you know, we ended up looking at lots on Sunday. And I mean, for around $200,000, you can get a 3 to 4 acre lot with a spectacular ocean view. And then, you know, then obviously you don't get a house, but you're at $200,000. That leaves you about a $200,000 budget. And, you know, if you build small and simple, you can probably have something fairly nice. I mean, and that's one thing I wanted to talk to you about today, Alex, is with your wide experience of building. I mean, once you start to add things like, let's just pretend I'm an architect and I say to you, how about a nice round wall?
Quadruple?
How about a round vaulted ceiling?
Triple the cost?
And how about a nice turret on the side with round walls and a pergola on the top and then vistas out off that with round encased, aluminum cased windows? And
just that part would cost the same as the rest of the house.
I know, and that's, see, that's my point. I mean, I mean, in your building experience,
well, the good old rule, the KISS rule, right? Keeping it simple does have a good ring to it in a sense, and a sensible connotation. In today's market, I would definitely say stay smaller. There's no reason to have. I mean, I like 5,000 square foot houses. Who doesn't, right? Everybody likes, you know, the big fancy kitchens and the vaulted ceilings. I would say realistically, though, you know, start with something that can be added onto. So start with, say, 1,200 square feet, maybe on a half basement or a full basement. If you have one roof line instead of 2 or 4 roof lines, you've cut that cost in half. And if it was designed right from the very beginning, where almost, say, module mentality in the sense that you have the larger sort of living common space in the center, and then with an addition that can be planned later. So, say, an extra bedroom or that dining room that you've always wanted or pool room or jacuzzi room or whatever it is.
But to keep it simple right from the beginning.
Exactly, exactly.
I mean, you know, truss roofs are the most magical invention ever made by the building industry, in my opinion, because they're, you know, they're held up by the walls and, you know, that means all the interior walls are non-load-bearing, and you can do a lot, and you know, and it gives you a lot of flexibility.
Yeah, definitely, definitely buying a lot now, I think, makes sense, and holding on to it, especially if you're on the cusp of retirement. Because realistically, you know, if you're buying a retirement home, you don't need 3 levels.
Yeah.
You ultimately want one level entry.
One level entry. And, you know, that's where this whole, remember we were talking about last week with the driveway, you know, the front door being the back door. I mean, if you sit down and design it and you get a designer to help you and you come up with a one level entry where you pull up to maybe the carport and you have the, you know, a back door to the kitchen right there and you can put the stuff right into the pantry and then you've got your front door right just on the same side, but just down a way so other guests could pull in and, you know, come into the entranceway. I mean, it's simple to design a house like that.
Oh, definitely. And, okay, so then...
And all one course, level.
Yeah. The lot always, you know, plays the challenge. Okay.
Well, most of the lots that we looked at became view lots because it ended up that they wanted a view. So then you're on the side of a hill.
Right. So actually, that can actually be an advantage to a retirement situation. Now, if your driveway is on the upper level, that makes sense. But if you arrive at the lower edge of the lot, and you've got to climb multiple series of staircases
that's no
and
good.
Such.
That doesn't work. That doesn't you work. Want to be able to pull down. Mm-hmm. And the nice thing about building, like, so where if you were at grade at the front door where you parked your car is at grade and the house is there, and let's say it's on about a 5 or 10, you know, 5 or 6 degree slope, then by the time you get out to the back of the house, if it's about 30 or 40 feet wide, you know, then you've got a deck off of that that's cantilevered out or, you know, propped up but out, then the deck's going to be probably, you know, 15 feet off the ground. But the views and the vistas would just be incredible.
Oh, yeah. And actually, our lot, our new house, it was about a 6 or 7 foot slope over the length of the property. So on one end of the basement, we have a full height basement.
Right, walkout basement.
Instead of building the deck out over on posts and having the water drip through or whatever, I framed the basement walls in underneath the deck. Then you can have windows around in underneath your deck.
Right.
So it's actually enclosed living space underneath. And then you can have windows. I find often if a room or rooms that are under porches or decks are dark because often they're shadowed.
I think there's good point of making a covered deck and putting living space underneath it. Mm-hmm. Now you have to upgrade and that's where the vinyl roofs come in, the vinyl decks.
Vinyl decking or what we did is we did a torch-on roof and then poured 2 inches of concrete on
that. And if you're going to use the vinyl, you got to bump up to the 30 mil.
Mm-hmm.
And the big thing is the you still have to have the ventilation and you still have to have the slope on that too. A lot of people forget that, you know, they'll not put a slope on it or they'll slope it back towards the house and that's where you can have problems. I mean, you've got to have the slope.
Right. So quarter inch per foot, which is, I think, minimum standard for water.
So what's that over like 10 feet? It's like about 2 inches or something, isn't it? No, that'd be 2.5 inches.
2.5 inches over 10 feet.
Yeah, which really makes for a nice drainage so that when the water hits, it runs off. But then you don't feel awkward walking on it.
Right, setting up a table or chairs or whatever. You know, you're not canted over on an angle.
Now, the one thing that I was talking to them about was that when they're designing their house and they've gone back to Alberta and they're going to work on their plans or I don't know what they're going to do, but it's if you excavate down, let's say you're going to build this house, right, on one level. So now we've come down the driveway and we're at grade. We're at the front door of the house and right there on the one side, let's say as you're looking at the house, the left side, we have the kitchen set up with a back door into the pantry and all that and a carport. And then in the center is the front door. The problem is if you say, okay, well, what we'll do is we'll dig down and put in a fountain, like all the way down for that a basement room, that becomes a dark, deep basement that's very expensive to build, in my opinion, and not worth it, especially if you're on rock.
Oh, absolutely. Blasting's fun, of course. I mean, it's great being on those
blasting's
sites.
Blasting's always fun.
Blowing up stuff, you know, there's no price that you can put on the enjoyment. But unfortunately, the price to have it all done and blast that out. So what I did, we did at our house is we stepped it.
Yeah.
So we have a 5 foot crawl space at the back of the house. So it's sort of tucked into the hillside and it's dark, and but it's great storage.
Right. But you know, you're better off to step it down, like at
right.
at the grade, right at the front door, have like a 1 foot, and then let's say out, you know, 10 feet, it drops down to 3 or 4, depending on how steep the log is. And then you're better off to have a small basement at the end than to excavate down the 10 feet and put in your foundations.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
going
to cost a fortune.
Well, yeah, soil removal and what it is it what take what tips the scale here is the cost of concrete.
The cost of concrete too
is, you know. You order, okay, we did that that deck, that poured concrete deck at our place. I believe it was...
200?
A yard or two. I think it was 2 yards.
For $400, roughly. 200 a yard.
No. Okay, so everything had to be upgraded. So it had to have fiber mesh in it. It had to have the 3/8 aggregate. We put color in it and trucking time because I had to build a runway.
I remember your...
Like a habit trail.
You had a YouTube video on
to
that,
get
yeah.
there,
right?
That was $1,400 bill.
Wow,
with tax.
Yeah,
for 2 yards of concrete.
Wow. See, that's why those vinyl decks are actually like, you know, the Deck Kings, whatever the companies that do that. Dave Good is a guy on the island here. He does that, and
right.
They're really durable. I find.
I would cost compare. I mean, you know, with the plywood that we had to have as a substrate and labor and
you
so forth.
You have to have the plywood, the 3/4-inch plywood with
all
the
that.
Vinyl deck. So
right. Right, all that stuff. So
it works,
you know, longevity.
Yeah, it's hard to tell.
It's a coin toss.
Yeah.
You know, cost effectiveness, long term. I did have a vinyl deck on a house before, and I found that in the sun, it off gassed a lot.
Oh, really?
It became a bit nauseous at some sometimes. Yeah. So,
but you know, that's the thing that basically we were talking about with these people. I mean, some of the houses at $350,000 are really nice. Don't get me wrong. There's nice houses on the island for $350,000, and there's I even have some listed. Like I have a listing at 181 Main Street for $395. Really nice house, a sweet house. I'm not saying that there's not nice houses at that price range. But their cave-in was they wanted 3 to 5 acres.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So then now all of a sudden, see, you're not just looking at a small lot, nice house scenario. They wanted the big lot in a spectacular location.
Right.
With a junker house. You don't find that.
No,
I
exactly.
mean, you know, you find... Not here. You can find a nice house on a small lot for $350,000, $400,000 range, but to find that spectacular lot...
With an affordable house on it.
It's almost impossible. So that's why they had to, you know, we had to look at really what they wanted, and we came up with the lots, and we went out and looked, and with the developers cutting the prices like crazy, and the selection, the availability is just unreal.
Yeah, especially, you know, if they're going to retire in 4 or 5 years or say,
yeah,
and they can pay cash for the lot.
Yeah.
Well, they haven't lost a dime.
Yeah.
Well,
now the thing is now the equation comes back down to you've got to look at how much is it going to cost to build? I mean, what are the costs involved in building? I mean, it's...
Well, what's that word? Exponential?
But it all depends on how big you build and how elaborate.
That's right. And we've talked about before, and one of the concepts is, you know, not knocking the concept of, hey, hire us to build your place and all the substrates to finish it, but going modular. Modern modulars are built standard homes, 2x6 frame, drywall walls.
But you know, the modular concept. Now, I've had Larry on the show before from Vancouver Island Modular Home,
right.
And I've got nothing wrong with the modular homes. I mean, I think they're really good product, but I really think that it's the simplicity. That's why they're so cheap.
Right.
I mean, it's not as if they're...
And they're not fancy, but you can fancy them up, right? I talked to him,
yeah.
So you can order it with fancier flooring.
But it's
or
not as if it's...
Whatever.
It's just that when you tend to build your own home, you tend to build bigger. And, you know, it's hard...
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you order a modular, then you've made the order. It's a price. You've already prearranged it, and you're set to that price. And it's a package, and you just do it, and it's small, and it comes in. But once you start building, it's, well, we might as well add this. Well, we might as well add that.
Yeah.
Well, if we're going to go this far, we might, well, look at the view out there. We might as well get a bay window here. We might as well add this. Well,
right.
You know, what about that?
Well, builders love that.
Yeah.
Oh, bay window. Oh, a few extra grand here. Hardwood floors instead of, laminate. Oh, a few extra grand there.
Well, that's where when you're building, you tend to spend as you go.
Well, yeah, take my house, for example.
Yeah. Well, actually, it's like this house. I don't want to say, I'll say it's on Sunset Drive, which is a pretty Tony area, nice house.
Yeah.
And when I was working for Ron the Plumber, we actually, the house was totally elaborate. I mean, just off the wall elaborate. The plumbing was unreal. I learned some plumbing tricks that Ron had never seen in his career. I mean, it was just unbelievable. The problem is, you know, as they were building, they just went so elaborate on this. Yeah. The concrete guy charged them a fortune. I mean, a built-in cistern in the basement that would hold like 20,000 gallons of rainwater. And,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it just snowballed, right? The problem is they finished that house with Arborite countertops.
Right.
You know, that's, and how many houses are finished with Arborite countertops where when you look at the original, if you sat down with those people at the start of it, they would say, well, we're going to have granite countertops and it'll be one piece of granite, contiguous, mm-hmm. no joints. It's going to be the absolute, you know, we're going to have a sub-zero fridge. And instead they've got the Amana fridge with mm-hmm. The problem is your budget. See, that's where the modular homes kind of...
Well, foresight.
That's where the modular homes...
Right?
They force you to have that budget where if you're doing it yourself, you know, and you're good at planning and you're really good at sticking to a plan, then building your own, I think, is a good option, a way to go. I mean, you know, if you can come up with a simple design, look at the site, work with a designer and just... Like
right.
something like...
And keeping it...
simple.
Relatively square or rectangular to start with. You know, as soon as you start, breaking away on a 15-degree angle with the dining room or the living room or something like that.
And
having multiple roof pitches. Now, you can order pretty fancy roofs all in trusses.
Yeah.
And they'll figure it all out for you. So, all your plates are all on one level. But, yeah, no, definitely simplicity is bliss. One of the
you know what I like about okay. trusses. One thing I yeah. really like about truss roofs are scissor trusses.
Sure. Oh yeah. Well,
because then you're not changing the. If you change the roof line on the outside, that gets expensive. Where if you add a scissor truss on the inside and maybe one
get
key,
a little bit of a vault inside
in one key feature room, like in mm-hmm. your living room, kitchen area.
Sure.
You put in those scissor trusses, but. The expensive part is when you alter your trusses on the outside and all of a sudden you've changed your roof
right.
line and then...
Well, one thing we did for one of our neighbors is we ordered what's called parallel cord trusses.
Ooh.
So the inside rake is the same angle as the exterior rake.
Right.
So they're essentially parallel.
Cord. Right.
Which is great because then you get the same vaulted ceiling inside than
yeah.
you do outside. Whereas, if you only have a 5 or a 7, 512 or 612 outside, and you do the scissor truss, which is like a 2 or a 312 inside,
right?
To tell you the honest truth, for me, it looks a little bit modularish.
It looks odd on the inside.
You know, it's
you
a little
it
bit like, well, why didn't they go vaulted all the way?
But let's say you right. did the parallel trusses, and mm-hmm. then in that room you put in, like, you know, a couple skylights, and so you really open it up and bring in the light.
Yeah.
And that's really inexpensive to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, you know, I've roofed quite a few houses now. Like, I built my cabin. The beauty of that cabin I built was it was a 20 by 30 rectangle with a straight run steel roof. It took me half a day to put the roof on. I mean,
right.
I pre-drilled all the holes, 3/16 drill bit, and then just put them up and had the boards in place, you know, the 2x4 stringers, and screwed it all on. The simple of a straight run, once you start adding hips, gables, everything else.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Multi-levels, like looking out the windows here at the studio. I mean, the Truscotts that used to own this property were brilliant people. And it's a neat building. They used to actually live in this part of the studio.
Okay,
right?
Really?
And then I think the second portion over there was added later, but... This bit right here was their shop, right?
Right.
And they lived here and added on, and they were boat builders. And so when you look around the place, it's kind of shippy, yachty style,
right?
Right. But if you're doing it yourself, okay, are you counting your labor or not?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, you know, if you're not expecting to get the value out of the home later, if you're wanting to just finish it and sell it, well, that's one thing. But if you're finishing it for yourself... I definitely find that sticking with a strict budget,
that's why it's so hard to do.
And planning out everything right from the very beginning from the doorknobs right on down to the concrete. So Scott wants to run some ads now.
We're going to stay tuned for a couple ads from our valued sponsors. And so it's Scott Simmons with the 1% Realty in Vancouver Island and Alex Danny with Portside Woodwork. We're here with the Salt Spring Island Radio Real Estate Show, and we'll be right back with the show. So hang on.
CFSI 107.9 FM です。インターネットアドレスは